And we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and the last part of verse 17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now the word liberty is a synonym with freedom. In the original language, the words translated in the Bible, free and freedom and liberty, are all the same word, as indeed its opposites, slavery and servanthood, are from the same opposite root. So we're thinking this morning about the freedom which the Holy Spirit brings to the life of a believer. When the Holy Spirit came down in dramatic power on the day of Pentecost, in a way, it did demonstrate that freedom. Crowds flocked to hear this strange thing that was happening. And while the particular gifts that were manifest in those open days, early days, are no longer with us because their purpose had ceased, yet they did represent, in a way, freedom. When you think of how difficult you found it to learn French or German or whatever, and you think that in an instant, these people, under the influence of the Spirit, those first disciples, were able to speak fluently, freely, in a language they'd never learned and understood what they were saying. The men were Galileans, with a strange accent, and yet they could speak freely and in the proper accents of all the languages there listed. But I only allude to that now just to give you a sense, in a way, of the freedom. It is hard work learning. It is hard work grasping things. And it is true that in a limited way, the Holy Spirit does help us with learning. I found it so when I was converted at 16, and I wasn't doing very well at school. And I became a Christian, and the Lord Jesus spoke to my heart. And I was aware that He was my friend, and I was dwelling with Him and in Him and walking with Him. And suddenly my work changed, both the ethos of the work and the nature of the work and the ability to do it. But not in a miraculous way, just that the effort of working was somewhat eased as with the oil of the Spirit. However, with that introduction, I want to take you through three passages of Scripture briefly and then try and just expound them a little bit to you. And first of all, the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of liberty. We see it in John 8 and in the Lord Jesus speaking in that passage. If I read to you two or three verses, you'll see that here is the Lord Jesus, if you like, introducing that theme. He said to the disciples, the Jews that believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So the Lord is that Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ makes free. Now, I only want to establish the point. We will come back to each of the three passages I'm giving you to make the points that I want to make. I just want you to have them in your mind. Perhaps the thing that you should notice here is that Jesus is speaking to those Jews that believed on him and said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. There's a difficulty of understanding here. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. Now, if these were the unbelieving Jews, you would have seen that there was hostility here. We be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How say we'll be made free? We are free. No, this is Jesus. If you commit sin, you are the servant of sin. You are not free. But if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Of course, it was not true that the Jews had never been in bondage to any man. They had been captives in Babylon. Maybe these Jews are just simply saying that we were not conscious of being in bondage at any time during our lives. But if these were the Jews who believed, their reply makes you understand the necessity why Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. For they immediately had difficulty in assimilating what he'd already said and were questioning it, even if you see it as a gentle question. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. And were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? It's how the teaching of Jesus goes on that makes you wonder whether even these Jews that believed went back. Because by verse 37 he's saying, I know you are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. And perhaps you've got to think that this is back to the unbelieving Jews. But it looks as if the belief of the converted Jews at that point was very, very fragile. So that's one context in which we think of the freedom which the Holy Spirit gives us. Now, secondly, in the passage that we read together, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, Paul says that the Christian church, the fellowship of the Christian believers, were like a letter that God had written through Paul that people could read. And he said it's not their outward lives, but their inward lives that people read, that people notice. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God on the fleshy tables of the heart. So, the Church of God, the people of God, are read by the unbeliever. And what they read is not how you dress, not what you say, not the impression you give, but what actually is the disposition of your heart. And then he goes on to say that this is such a glorious thing that really it will be recognized by the unbelievers as being a stupendous change. And he does it in a wonderful way. He reminds them that when the law was given, it was God's law. And it was given on Mount Sinai. And it was given with great glory and with great fire. And nobody should even go near the mount or even touch it, but they would be thrust through with a dart. And he says, now, if the ministry of the law, which was only temporary, was presented so gloriously, how permanent the faith which is in the Lord Jesus Christ should be ministered to by the Holy Spirit, that permanent ministry of the heart that will never pass away, that leads to everlasting life. That is a glorious ministry of the Holy Spirit which creates this. And he gives several illustrations. He keeps going like that. And eventually he says, it's not like when Moses put a veil over his face to keep the glory of God away from the people who would see it shining. And he says, now, when the Old Testament is read by the Jewish people, that veil is still there to prevent the shining of the Spirit of God in Christ into their hearts, unless the mighty power of the Spirit grants them faith to believe. Even to this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. But the veil remains until they turn, and they can't turn because the veil is still there. It's speaking of the power of the Holy Spirit simultaneously to take the veil from the heart and turn the believer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and there is a veil no longer. There is nothing to hinder the immediate access of a believer into the presence of God. The Spirit is liberty. And these are wonderful, wonderful liberties. And the other passage, which I desire just to bring to your attention, you can study all these this afternoon, is Galatians 5. In a sense, you need to read the whole of the letter. But Galatians 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The trouble is with the Christians, the Jews in Galatia, is that having received the gospel administered by the Spirit, they then try to continue in the flesh. Galatians 3, verse 2. This is what I would learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? That is to say, that the Spirit ministers liberty by faith. Faith is the instrument that sets free. The Spirit brings faith to bear. Where there is no faith in Jesus Christ, there is no liberty. There is darkness. And where there is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is liberty. Now, I've just given you that just to think of. Now, I'd like you just to think of freedom. You can imagine that a slave would long for his freedom. A slave had no permission, no right to his life. This was a terrible thing. A slave could not do anything without the permission of the master or the mistress. And if you were a child brought up as a slave, you were under the authority not of your parents, but of the master or mistress. The master could split the family up and sell your father to one buyer, sell your mother to another buyer, sell child number one to another buyer, and sell child number two to still another buyer. There was nothing humane about it. A slave had no rights in that way. But not only that, even if a slave was relatively happy with being in a stable master-servant relationship, yet the burdens that they were asked to carry, the things that they were asked to do, even if they were very responsible, carried no reward. There was no personal advantage. It may be hard work. It might have been like being out in the field all day, in the example Jesus uses. You come back and then you serve the master. You don't sit down and have a meal then, however hungry you are. There's still other things to be done. Or if you're a teacher, then you've got no great reward. You do teach. It's a position of privilege as a servant. But you're still a slave. You've got to teach the children that are given you. And you have to teach the things that you're told to teach. And after that, you have nothing but the fact that when you can't teach any longer, you're just a servant to be thrown away. So servants, particularly the ones that we would call slaves, they would desire most earnestly to be free. It was a pipe dream for most. But this idea of freedom was magic. To be able to determine your own life. To be able to go out when you wanted to. To be able to stay with your parents. Not to have always going over you that perhaps when you become a teenager you will be whisked off and taken to some place in Africa or some place in China and made to walk all the way by the merchants who bought you for sale elsewhere in some strange place. Slavery. The whole ethos of it, and particularly the heavy drudgery of it day by day, caused people to long for that burden to be taken away. Now, I grew up in the war years. From the ages of 5 till 10, I grew up in London, except when I was evacuated in the war years. And there were restrictions. Children were a bit cavalier. We were not supposed to go very far from home in case the air raid warning went. And of course I would bike away and the air raid warning would go and I would be 7, 8, 9 miles away from home on my bike as an 8-year-old, and the air raid warning and the police would come with their cars. What are you doing all this way from home? So on and so on. But there was a restraint of freedom. There was certainly rationing. I had one ice cream in 5 years and I dropped that, so I was full of tears when I was 6. I never had a banana till I was 11. Didn't have a holiday of any sort, except that I was evacuated. It was nothing like slavery, but there was danger and there were restrictions. And I know how I felt them as a child. And one longed for the war to be over when you could do what you like. And that's the point I want to make. Excessive longing for freedom breeds in the fallen human heart the desire to do what you like. And that's been the trouble with this nation. The things that those who died in the war fought for are not the things we do now.